I had the great privilege and pleasure of being away on a clergy renewal retreat this last week. I left early Sunday morning and returned very, very late, actually early Saturday morning, yesterday. And one thing I want to tell you is, I miss you when I'm gone, actually. Not that I didn't know that, but on Sunday morning, I was sitting around saying, they're just about to begin, Diane is just about to begin the announcements, Kathy is just about ready to preach for the very first time. So, thank you. So you were very much on my heart and mind all this last week, and I'm thoroughly delighted and proud that things go on as they should, even when the pastor is away. Just briefly, the retreat that I attended was a facilitated retreat. It was for about 25 Metropolitan Community Church clergy. There had been an earlier one on the West Coast that I was unable to attend, so I attended this one that was held in the Poconos of eastern Pennsylvania. So it was absolutely beautiful to be there. Reminded me a lot of where I grew up in western Pennsylvania. And especially when it snowed the first night, for which I was not prepared. It was fantastic. It really was. And it was very refreshing, challenging, renewing. And there's a lot of it that I will be unpacking spiritually for the next several days and weeks and perhaps months. But I really feel some profound shifts were able to happen in my heart and spirit. But one of the non-retreat related little divine signs that happened when the retreat was concluded and I was leaving the retreat center in the hills, and I needed to get myself a cup of coffee for the drive to Philadelphia. I stopped in the nearby town, the small city of Stroudsburg. Does anyone know where Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania is? I had heard of it, but I didn't know where it was before. And I'd never been there before, so I drove through, found the cute little historic town square, and I said, there's got to be some coffee shop here. And I wandered into this quaint little coffee shop, ordered my coffee, and just as I was leaving, I saw a sign that said, the philosophy of Stumptown. I was like, Stumptown? Stumptown? They served Stumptown coffee from Portland, Oregon, in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. Now, I'm gonna say, is God, are you trying to tell me something? I knew I missed Portland, but I didn't know that it was gonna visit me the whole way here in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. So I had to take a couple pictures of the coffee shop and like chatted up the barista. It is apparently the only place outside of Portland and one or two locations in New York where Stumptown coffee is actually served, in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. I call that a God thing, don't you? So, I'd ask you to pray with me, please. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be a delight in your sight. God, you who are our rock, our strength, our redeemer. Amen. I don't know about you, but I will readily confess that I'm not a fan of the increasingly early Christmas marketing that we experience. That even before Halloween has come upon us, things are marketed for Christmas. It makes me a little bit annoyed, a little angry, a little anxious, in fact, because Christmas is a big season at church. So I'm not very excited too far in advance about Christmas. However, when I read through the lectionary, it's the cycle of biblical readings that shared across Christian tradition, and we sometimes follow it here, it had this reading from the first chapter of Luke, the prophecy given by Zechariah at the dedication of his infant son, the one whom we will end up calling John the Baptizer, the forerunner of Jesus. So even though it feels a little bit like rushing Advent, a little too early for even pre-Christmas, it does seem that this is given to us as a message worthy of attention at perhaps any time. So you will probably recall John the Baptizer, likely a familiar character from the Bible, mentioned in all four of the Gospels. He is memorably that prophet in the wilderness who ate locusts and wild honey, called people to repent and be baptized because there was this promised one who was going to be coming after him. John the Baptizer, the prophet who actually baptized Jesus himself. Each gospel in the Bible, if you're familiar with them, or even if you glance at them, you'll notice that they start very differently. Each author begins them differently. And Luke, from whom we hear today, begins his gospel not with the birth story of Jesus, but with the story of John's amazing birth. Luke's gospel begins with this unusual elderly couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. They are devout, we are told very clearly, but they're elderly and childless. And anyone familiar at all with the Hebrew biblical tradition would be reminded of those Jewish ancestors, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, Rachel, all devout and childless ancestors. And this bearing of children was considered a blessing, so being childless was considered a tragedy, even a sign of divine judgment. So, childless and elderly, they are devout, but they are also a little marginalized. But not quite. They're insider outsiders. Zechariah is a priest in the temple. That's ground zero of Jewish political and spiritual power. And Elizabeth is described as a daughter of Aaron, a descendant of the priestly class. So if it weren't for their lack of children, they would have been the perfect power couple in first century Jerusalem. However, they were marginalized in a personal way, insiders and outsiders. So if you've never read the beginning of Luke before you get to the story of Jesus, before you rush off to the second chapter of Luke, in short, the story of Zechariah, Elizabeth, and John goes like this. Zechariah was serving in the temple as the priest, and he had the honored and rare opportunity, sometimes it only came once in a priest's lifetime, to bring incense into the high altar of the temple. So while he is serving in that holy spot, everyone is waiting outside. He's visited in that moment. This is high religious drama. He's visited by the angel Gabriel, just as Mary, we'll hear, will be visited by Gabriel. And the angel tells Zechariah that Elizabeth is going to have a child, and not just any child, but a special and powerful child whom they will name John. A child who will have the spirit of Elijah, who was the great prophet of Jewish history. And Zechariah questions the angel and asks, "How will I know this is true?" And well, to doubt the word of an angel is rather unwise. Zechariah is struck speechless, mute. He is silenced until, it is said, the promise will be fulfilled. Now, Elizabeth becomes pregnant, and in awe and gratitude, she goes into seclusion. And then Luke introduces the story we're more familiar with, the parallel story of how Gabriel visits Mary, who will become the mother of Jesus. And upon welcoming that news, unlike Zechariah, who questioned the news, she conceives, and then she leaves in a hurry to visit her cousin, Elizabeth. Elizabeth and Mary are described as cousins, and Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. So it's at the moment of dedication of this newborn son of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Elizabeth tells the friends and family gathered that their son's name will be John. And they protest because it's not a family name. So they ask this still voiceless Zechariah what the baby's name will be. He calls for a bit of parchment to write on, and he writes his name is John. And suddenly his voice returns. The friends and neighbors are suddenly themselves struck in awe at what have we just witnessed? What kind of child is this going to become? And in response to all of that, Zechariah launches into this song, this prophecy that we hear read today. First, it's a prophecy about a baby that is yet to be born. When it says God has raised up a mighty Savior and Redeemer, that is a prophecy about Mary's child about to be born a few months later. And then sings and prophesies about his own child, "You will be called the prophet of the Most High." And then sings what it's all going to mean. The dawn from on high is breaking upon us. It is a story full of wonder, rooted in the history of a people, prophecy, the working out of God's purposes, the promise of joy for God's people. And it feels to me a little bit like an ancient movie trailer. You know, when you go into the theater and you have those short little snippets of what's about to come. It's an attention grabber. It's a teaser. It's to intrigue and entice us into the story. So if this were an actual movie trailer, I think it might sound a little bit like this. In a world of violence, where the empire rules with an iron fist and a crushing boot. In a world where the poor get poorer and the rich get richer, even when those called blessed feel cursed and forgotten. After centuries of watching and waiting for good news, people had given up hope of anything changing. And then, a baby was born, and that world was about to change forever. Just in case the preaching stuff doesn't work out, I suppose. So what's the trailer about? The story of John the Baptizer's birth is a kind of, let's call it a prequel to the Christ event. You know what prequels are? Name me some movie prequels. Wicked. Oh, not yet a movie, but I'm waiting for that. Wicked. Another prequel, come on. Star Wars. What was the name of the prequel? Prometheus. Oh my God. Oh, that's from the Alien franchise. So we know a little bit of prequels. You already know the big story, the kind of famous story. There are characters you already know something about, but the prequel happens to help you understand where it all came from, what the meaning is of what comes after. So this was set as a kind of prequel to understand even more fully the story of Jesus. But something else, if this prophecy is anything like a movie trailer, it alerts us to pay attention, to stay tuned, to come back, because God is about to do something amazing. You know, there's a funny thing about movie trailers. In order for the trailer to be made, the movie is already in production, if not already complete. Think about it. In order to have the scenes for the trailer, the movie is already underway. It's in production if it's not already complete. The story and the action are already underway, and this just gives us a glimpse, a little piece of what's to come. You know, the biblical prophets, a very apt description of prophecy and prophets in the Bible is that they are described as speaking truth to power. And that is often how the prophets are portrayed. They speak uncomfortable truths to the rulers and the wealthy or the nation as a whole. But there are those occasions when prophecy seems to, shall we say, lift the veil and reveal events that will be coming in the future. So I actually think that's also another way of speaking truth to power. This revealing of what's to come, this divine revealing of what's to come, it speaks truth to the power of the misbelief that things will never change. Does anyone here hold that belief that things will never change? That is a powerful belief. It speaks to the power that things in your life and our life and the life of the world will always be the same. That is a powerful misbelief. This kind of prophecy speaks truth. And it says that God is already in production working on something new. God is already in production working on something new. So, have you ever waited in line for that great new movie? You saw the trailer in the theater, you've watched it at least a dozen, if not three dozen times online. You can't wait to be there on opening night. Or maybe you stood in line for hours and hours for the new iPhone. Or whatever else has been marketed as this great new next thing that you must have, and you know you have to have it, so you will wait with pins and needles. So I wonder if we believe in a loving and living and acting God, will we likewise wait on pins and needles to see what God has been up to? We've already seen the prequel. We've read the stories. We've heard the stories of how God has acted in the past. Are we ready for the sequel? That's where the trailer begins. It's really the sequel, which is in our world, in our life. The trailer is a sign that the story of what God is doing is already in production and underway. And that is a story that I do not want to miss.